Good morning, church. Hello? Good morning, church.
Unmute the announcement mic.
Testing.
Try again, Randy.
Testing. Good morning, church. Welcome to First Baptist Church Yoakum this morning. My name's Randy Boone, and first I want to thank you for being here and give a few announcements before we begin our service. Also, if you're a guest, there's some gift bags out on the service table, and you're welcome to get one. Wednesday night ministries are starting back September the 9th. Here are some things to know. First, Wednesday nights aren't just for kids. They are for adult. There's two adult classes. One class is called Got a Question, and the other class is called The Gospel of John. Second, parents this Wednesday is to meet the teachers at 6 p.m. This coming Wednesday, right, Pastor? Third, do you still need to register your kids or youth? Use the QR code in your worship guide. One to highlight at is a ways out. Our next membership class is Saturday, September the 12th. This includes if you have questions about our church, where we came from, what do we believe, how can I become a member, and we'd like for you to please sign up in the foyer. Now let me read our vision that we have. Appealing to those in darkness, imitating Christ. We're going to have our call to worship now. This is a time that we prepare ourselves for worship. The pastor, the scripture this morning's in Psalms chapter 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Bow with me as I pray. Lord, help us this morning with a new song. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your glory, and thank you for your awesomeness. Help us to follow you with all our heart. Help us to trust you with everything we have. Father, accept our praise and worship this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If you would stand with us in that same vein, we're going to do some songs that may not be new songs, but they're maybe new to us. We haven't done in a long time or not at all. And you might notice a little bit of a theme. We were going to have a baptism this morning, had an audible call last minute, but this week's theme is baptism. So bear that in mind as we go through.
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please, again, I need you. Oh, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet honey on my lips. Slave to sin, I want to know about being born again. I need you. Oh God, I need you. So take me to the riverside, take me under, baptize. I need you. Oh God, I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Symphony in my ears, like holy water on my skin. I your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. And I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change.
One more time.
I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like the sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water on my skin. It's like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like the sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water.
This is a time of each morning of our service when we take a few minutes to confess our sins before we continue our worship. We all sin. I sin. Do you? I think we all sin. I don't like it that I sin, but I do. We need to confess our sins, so we're giving you a few moments of silent prayer to do that. Please take advantage of this special time this morning. The passage this morning I'll be reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Bow with me and confess your sins, and in a few moments I'll close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Lord, we do sin. Sometimes because we get angry. Sometimes we don't always tell the truth. Sometimes we're jealous. Sometimes we just don't get along with others. We fail over and over, but you give us forgiveness over and over also as we confess and trust you. Give us the courage to repent and to help us love others more than we love ourselves. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please stand as we continue on this morning.
Oh, how he loves us. grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all singing. So heaven meets earth like an unseen kiss, and my mind turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way.
I surrender all.
surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender
this love.
This is a time in our service when we pray for our church, other churches. We pray for missionaries. We also lift up our pastor, and we pray for city, state, federal employees that have a authority over us or help us, they minister to us actually through how they help us. Today we'll be praying for our Yoakum Police Chief, Carl Van Sluten, and Pastor Max Garza at Holy Mountain Baptist Church, and missionary Lonnie going to Europe from Georgia. The scripture this morning is from Psalm 17, verses 6 and 7. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love. O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries, at your right hand. Bow with me and pray with me. Lord, we lift up Yoakum Police Chief Carl Van Sluten. He's asked us that we pray for safety for him, his staff, everyone working for the department, and he added each citizen in Yoakum. Lord, I ask that you watch over our police department and you protect them from harm. Thank you for their watch care over us. Remind us often to pray for them. Lord, we also lift up Pastor Max from Holy Mountain Baptist Church. He asked for prayer for balance in his ministry, his family, and his work. He's a lay pastor who works all day and then pastors in his church. He's also asked for prayer for unity in those things. He said he struggles so much to do and he needs help to be able to meet his church's needs. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would lift him up and give him confidence of your ability to lead and direct his path. Lord, we pray that his church will become unified and supportive of their pastor. Father, we also lift up Lonnie as he travels to Europe as a missionary. Help him be an awesome long-distance father and grandpa. Help him to get settled quickly. Allow him to be available as soon as possible to minister to those that you're sending him to. And Lord, I lift up Pastor Daniel this morning as he brings us your message this morning. I ask you to speak clearly to us through the service. I ask, Lord, that you cancel any work of the enemy this morning. Lord, open our ears and our eyes to your message. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to serve each other. Help us to be unified with one another, and help us to trust you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John, you coming up to read the...
Please stand for the reading of God's word. Please stand if you're able. Acts 9, 18 through 19. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Go take it down with you. All right. Thank you so much for that reading, John. Change of plans. We didn't do the baptism today because we had sick family members and we wanted them to be present here. But having read God's word, let us pray for our time of sermon. Please pray with me and then we'll dismiss the kids. Father God, we thank you so much for the words that we have read today throughout scripture, but especially from Acts 9 being read by John this morning. I just pray that Spirit, that you would begin to move in us, prepare us to receive this message. Let it be God's gracious gift to us. I ask that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, encourage where we need encouragement and spirit. I ask most of all, if there are any here who are dead in their sins, they're not ready for baptism because they don't know Jesus, that you would bring them life in Christ. We love you, Jesus. We commit this time of sermon to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. And with that, I'll say it's time for the kids to follow Doc out. They're welcome to follow him. They're also welcome to stay. I've encouraged my Sunday school class kids to stay. They've got notes to take on the sermons. They got to pay attention more than you grown-ups. But yes, we're here today. The sermon title today is baptism. So kids in my Sunday school class, the sermon title is baptism. You'll need that later. But yeah, we didn't begin with baptism. As I said, we'll reschedule for later next month. We're moving down our discipleship pathway, and you'll see that in your worship guide in the back there by Mark. But before we get into the discipleship pathway, it's story time. And the story today gets introduced by a question. And the question is this: can you prove those are your toilets? Can you prove those are your toilets? And so where does this story begin? I'm in high school. That's 2003. I've got way more hair. And it's Port Lavaca. It's late at night, probably about 11 o'clock. My buddies and I, Chris and Aaron, there's nothing to do in Port Lavaca. And we say, let's do something exciting. Let's prank Mr. Scott. We said this often. Mr. Scott was our Sunday school teacher, and we thought it was fun to prank him because he was always so gracious about it. But we didn't want to go for the low-hanging fruit. The low-hanging fruit is you fork someone's yard, you toilet paper someone's yard. But I knew, because I was a deacon kid, that First Baptist Port Lavaca didn't just have toilet paper out by the dumpsters. They had toilets. They were remodeling, and there was a stack of used toilets out by the dumpster. And we said, we're gonna put those toilets all over his yard. Just a bunch of toilets in Mr. Scott's yard. So we load up the Honda Civic with as many as we could fit. They're hanging out of the trunk, the doors open, they're hanging out the windows, we're all crammed in there. We look conspicuous. But I'm driving slowly, I'm a very careful driver. But needless to say, a police officer in Port Lavaca did the right thing and pulled us over. And he said, "What's the story here?" And so we knew what our story was. We were here to prank our Sunday school teacher. And his thing is, he's like, "These guys have stolen this. They're doing something awful." And I have this brilliant idea. My dad is a deacon at First Baptist Port Lavaca. He can clear this up. He can prove our story. Who Mr. Scott is, that these toilets were in fact trash. And so the officer, I don't think I had a cell phone, but he somehow contacts my father. I give him the landline. And my dad did OB at the time, so of course he picks up the phone. And I don't know what he said to the officer, but he convinced him that we weren't stealing those toilets. They were in fact trash. That Mr. Scott was in fact our Sunday school teacher. And that while this was a prank, not the best thing, we weren't up to any harm. He had proven our story. And so the officer sends us on our way, drive slow, drive slow. Why did I tell you that story? We knew what we were up to in our mind. We knew what was going on. But for this officer, we had to make it official. I'm sure he had to go to the police station. And it's interesting, we're playing for the Yoakum police, but I'm sure there's a form somewhere in the Port Lavaca police records, traffic stop, such and such time, for Sunday school prank. And so that morning, Mr. Scott woke up to about 5 toilets in his front yard. I don't actually know how I cleared him out there. So why do I tell you that story? It's to help us think about that idea of proving and making things official. But let me remind you of our pathway so far. Our pathway began last week with the idea of conversion. Jesus changed me. And then today we move on to baptism and then devotions, evangelism, and then the things within the church, membership, stewardship, corporate worship, discipleship. And then the things that move us on to maturity, mortification, missions, and offices. And our goal through this whole series is to help you see, where am I at on this path? And we said last week that the first step is the most important. Conversion is unlike the others. It's the beginning of the path because it's the beginning of our spiritual life. We don't want to move on to baptism, evangelism, stewardship if we are not in fact converted. So that was the question last week. Has Jesus changed me? But if he has, then we see it connects to this week's step. As we shared last week, there's a basic structure to these sermons. There's a what and a why. And so what is baptism? That's the first thing we have to learn this week, and it has to do with what John read for us. What is baptism? Baptism is making the change official. We're trying to do really simple definitions in this series. Last week, Jesus has changed me. Baptism, making the change official. So in baptism, you make the change official. You make it public. You make it known. You make it verifiable. And so in what John read this morning, we can see that Paul has this happen in his life. Last week we were in Acts 9, and Jesus changed him on the road, blinded him, humbled him. His life will never be the same. But then what happens? What did John read for us in Acts 9, 18? It says, "And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened." A short passage, but it shows us some verifiable things that happened in Paul's life. What evidence did they see of the change in his life? Well, first, he joins the disciples. This is pretty alarming. He woke up that day to kill Christians. Now he wants to spend time with them. There's the miracle of the scales. He eats food with them. But most importantly, he submits to baptism. Our definition, baptism, is making the change official. In Acts 9, the change in Paul's life is made official. We could imagine a story where he met Jesus on the road, and then he said, "I'm going to keep this to secret. I'm going to keep this to myself." But no, he shares it with the disciples, and he submits to baptism. And now we need to talk about Greek. What does baptism mean? It's actually just a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo. It's one of those words in your Bible, they don't really translate. And before Christianity, it had a very understood meaning. It meant to submerge or dip, to go under water. You would baptizo cloth to dye it. If you had a white cloth and you wanted to make it red, it would go under the dye. If you baptizo a ship, what do you think you're saying? The ship has sunk. It has gone under the water. If you were serving soup, as we do on Wednesday, if you were to baptizo the ladle, what are you saying? The ladle goes under to scoop out the soup. If you baptizoed a person, what do you think you're saying? They drowned. They went under the water and didn't come up. I'll point out now, and it'll mean more later, baptizo never means to sprinkle. But for some reason in Paul's story, this Jewish Pharisee submits to this ritual of Christian submersion. He doesn't say, "Hey, I'm Paul, I met Jesus on the side of the road, keep that water away from me." No, he submits, he welcomes the immersion. And so before we get to the why, I just really want us to dwell on for a moment the overwhelming evidence for baptism. These are in your worship guide notes, it has those sermon notes there. Every occurrence of baptism in the book of Acts. I just want us to understand how normal this is in the book of Acts. There are over 5,000 baptisms in the book of Acts. Everyone is doing it. It's expected, it's normal, it's good. And we see all these, and we see everyone's doing it, and then we need to ask, why? Why is everyone doing it? Well, the simple answer, it was Jesus' idea. Listen to Matthew 28, 18, and 19. First, verse 19. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." So I've already said baptism is making the change official. In the book of Acts, everyone, including Paul, is doing it. Why? Well, a simple answer, it's Jesus' idea. Jesus said to do it, make disciples, baptizing them in verse 19, so we do it. But it's more complicated than that. It's not just a simple, the Bible says so, so do it. Jesus actually gives us the reason for it. Put verse 19 up there. We need to see this. It says, "Go, therefore." Anytime you see the word therefore in your Bible, you're seeing a reason or a connection idea. Here's how it works. 2 + 2 = somebody said 7. That's a problem. 2 + 2 = 4. Therefore, 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. Okay, so the thing with the therefore is a conclusion is drawn out from what you said before. 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 plus 2 plus 2 equals 6. So Jesus says, therefore, baptism, it means to really understand the why of baptism, we need verse 18. So now put verse 18 up there and listen for the why. What is baptism all about? And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Do you see the why of baptism in verse 18? Authority. Baptism is about authority. Jesus' authority. Think of it this way. This is a metaphor that I like to help us think about. Conversion, Jesus calls being born again. Okay? New baby, new life. What is baptism then? It is like getting your birth certificate. It doesn't summon a baby into the world, but just like your birth certificate makes that baby official and recognized, so does baptism. But it's important. Baby first, then birth certificate. If you go to the county registrar and try to do that backwards, you say, I don't have a baby yet, but I'd like a certificate, they'll look at you like you're crazy. But baptism isn't just official recognition. We also see that it is authorization. Go back to verse 19. What does it say at the end? Words that you've heard before, but what do they mean? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Those aren't magic words. This isn't a magic formula. This is actually a way in the Greek to describe authorization or authority. You are acting in the name of, you are representing the name of someone. So when one is baptized, they now officially represent the Father, Son, and Spirit. What is Jesus like? Go ask that one who was baptized. So let's review. Again, really simple definitions. We'll talk about some tools to help expand your thinking later. What is baptism? Making the change official. Why baptism? Jesus has all authority. Let's talk about our warnings or corrections. Two corrections today. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is not salvation or self-expression. First, let's deal with baptism is not salvation. As we shared last week in Yoakum, we are swimming in a culture influenced by the dogmas of the Roman Catholic Church, especially when it comes to baptism. So what do they teach about baptism? Here's what their canon law says. Baptism, the gateway to the sacraments and necessary for salvation by actual reception, or at least by desire, is validly conferred only by a washing of true water with the proper form of words. Through baptism, men and women are freed from sin, are reborn as children of God, and configured to Christ by an indelible character, are incorporated in the church. There's many things we could discuss here. There's the true water, the proper words, indelible character. But what's the main distinction between what we're teaching today and what the Catholic Church teaches? What's the main thing? At the very beginning, they say it. Baptism is necessary for salvation. Baptism is necessary for salvation. And almost everyone you meet in Yoakum is influenced by this teaching. I've met people who have never been to Mass. They don't know the official teaching of the Catholic Church, but it has so influenced them. You ask them, why are you baptized? And they'll say something like, I'm baptized to be saved. I'm baptized to wash all my sins away. I'm baptized to be right with God. Do you hear that teaching about baptism is necessary for salvation? That it's not an official act, it's a saving act. And it's true, this teaching has bled into many other denominations. If you've ever been a part of or around a denomination that sprinkles babies, it traces back to this teaching. They get the idea from the Roman Catholic Church. Whereas, we've already read in Acts 9, what's the clear teaching and pattern of Scripture? Just think about Paul's life. Conversion, on the road to Damascus, he meets Jesus, changes his life forever, and then what? Baptism. Immersion as a believer publicly recognized. But That's the first correction. Baptism is not salvation. Now let's talk about our second correction. Baptism is not self-expression. And this is more of an issue that bleeds in from what I'll call megachurch land. And it works like this. If you Google baptism shirt, what kind of logos pop up? I think we have one here. You see what that says? I have decided. The most popular selling baptism shirts on Etsy are some sort of form of this. I have decided. I have chosen. I even saw one that just said, this is my baptism shirt. What's the problem? Baptism isn't about you. We've already said baptism is about Jesus and his authority. An honest baptism shirt would say, I have submitted. I have submitted under Jesus' authority. And so what does this self-expressive baptism result in? First, we see this in cases of multiple rebaptisms. And there could be genuine rebaptism. We could talk more about that. But it looks like this. I feel something new spiritually, so I should get rebaptized. You're using as a reflection of how you feel. Or spontaneous baptism. Sometimes the preacher says, if you feel God moving today, come down in the water. Or people expressing baptism completely separate from the local church. We'll talk about this more as we get to church membership, but an extreme example, imagine someone saying, I don't need a church to tell me how to be baptized. It's my expression of how I feel, and I want to get baptized at my cousin Billy Bob's horse trough and purple Kool-Aid. And you say, well, why are you doing it that way? Well, Billy Bob's my favorite cousin, and purple Kool-Aid's my favorite flavor. That's an extreme example, but you get the idea. Again, we'll talk about more why baptism connects to the local church and membership. But for now, we see the two warnings. Baptism is not salvation, and baptism is not self-expression. But now I want us to see what happens when we pair these up. If we say baptism is salvation, and it is self-expression. Here's what it looks like, okay? The sign out front says what? First Baptist Yoakum. We're not hiding it, right? We're letting people know. We talk about it almost every Sunday. And someone leaves their old church that taught baptism saves. They actually might reject the doctrine, but they at least like the way that we talk about it more. And they love our church because we preach from the Bible. We say baptism is because of Jesus' authority. But then, along the way, we might have the conversation with them. Hey, that sprinkling you did as an infant, it was done for the wrong reasons, and it doesn't display your belief in Christ. But would you like to be baptized as a believer by immersion? And then here's what's happened. Someone will respond, how dare you question my sprinkling? How dare you question my earlier baptism? It's how I want to express my faith in Jesus. And it's sort of like saying, I love the Italian restaurant in town, but I hate that they serve spaghetti. You know, I can't believe the Baptist asked me to be baptized. Do you see what I'm saying? With our culture of self-expression, and then just the air that we breathe of baptism saves, those blend together where many people end up defending a mode of baptism, a type of baptism, that they don't even believe in. I love that this church teaches believers baptism by immersion, but I want to defend the baptism that I had as an infant. And so, listen, if you're a guest here today from another church, wonderful. I'd encourage you to go talk to your priest or your minister there and talk to them about what they teach about baptism. And I won't lose any sleep if you say, actually, I want to keep continuing to sprinkle infants. Because I don't teach that baptism saves. It's a second-tier issue. But just here, if you're a longtime attender of First Baptist Yoakum, listen closely to these corrections one more time. Baptism is not salvation, and baptism is not self-expression. So later on, as we move down this path, if we ask you to be baptized, don't be surprised about that. You're here at First Baptist Yoakum. So let's review. What is baptism? It's making the change official. Officially, publicly coming out as under Jesus' authority. Why? Jesus has all authority. And so baptism is the second step on our path of discipleship. So let me show you one more time how they connect. Last week, conversion. Jesus changed me. This week in baptism, if you're converted, if you're a new believer in Christ, what's the next step? Baptism, making the change official. And then I'll invite you back next week. We'll talk about devotions, what that is, and how that works in your life. But like last week, we don't just want to give you definitions and doctrines. We want to give you tools. We want to give you vision. So tool number one is our little blue book, something you can take. They're out there in the hall today. And who here has seen one of these blue books? Probably almost all of you in here. We use this in our membership class. I use it to talk to kids and adults about baptism. A little short book. It's like 40 pages. Why should I be baptized? It just really breaks down where it's at in Scripture and what it means and how it's useful for the believer and the church. If you want to take one home, go take it in the back and go read it. This second one, less of you have seen, and this is the one I'll throw at someone today, Understanding Baptism by Jameson. And this one really dives into the discussion about why the different churches baptize the way they do. And so it's very helpful for going through a lot of Scripture, seeing how things have sort of changed throughout history. And so I'd encourage you, if you're like, I have questions about why it is this way, this would be really great for you. Anybody want a copy of this? The only rule is you got to read it. You want one, John? God bless you. There you go. There you go. I'll be impressed. That one's more at a high school level. The other one's more at like a fourth grade level, but awesome. All right, so there's more copies of those in the back. Another tool, and this is something that's not a secret, but we have our baptism questionnaire. These are the questions that we talk to baptism candidates about. So parents, if your kid's been bugging you about baptism, I'd encourage you to pick those up. They're right there by all the books. You know, who is Jesus? What is the gospel? And these are things that we talk about. Even if you've been a long-time Christian, you were baptized a long time ago, it might be good for you to think about, do I actually understand what happened back then? Do I understand what baptism is? So those are our three tools. Why should I be baptized? Understanding baptism and the questionnaire. Now let's talk about the future of our church. Let's cast some vision. One thing that I've been imagining and dreaming about for quite a while is, let me explain it this way. Right now, the way we handle baptism is it's one-on-one. Some kid, some adult comes to me either through the membership process or some other reason, says, hey, I need to be baptized. And we have a series of one-on-one conversations. We might give them something to read, talk to them, that sort of deal. But I can imagine a future where our church regularly offers a class or a course that explains the meaning of baptism and helps people get introduced to the idea. Another thing that I would love to imagine for our church is a culture that celebrates baptism. Number one, by regularly having baptisms here. It is, in fact, First Baptist Yoakum. But two, even just celebrating the fact that people have been baptized. I don't know all the ways that work. Is it about anniversaries? Is it about testimonies of baptism? I don't know. It also might mean something more in your home. Parents, here's one for you. Do your children know the story of your baptism? I was such and such age at such and such church, and Aunt Sally was there, and the water was cold. We know at least this from the book of Acts, that it was normal and regular for the early church to discuss and share about baptism. Part of the reason so many people were being baptized is they were talking about it. They were encouraging it. So I'd encourage you, parents, families, don't be shy about discussing your baptism. So that's the vision, a future where we regularly offer training on what baptism is. And then a culture that celebrates and encourages baptism. So let's review one last time. What is baptism? Making the change official. And why do we baptize? Because Jesus has all authority. We don't just do it because he said so. We do it because it displays his authority. So what are our closing thoughts today? First, for the unbaptized, would you like to make the change official? Okay, you've been converted. God has changed you. You have eternal life in Jesus. So the question now, is it time? I want you to consider baptism. Pray about it. I'm sure you have fears. You know, you're standing in front of all these people. Maybe you have fears about family. What will my Catholic grandma think? If you are truly converted, I promise getting baptized will only draw you closer to Jesus. Why? Because what is it necessarily doing? It's drawing you closer to His authority. So, would you like to make the change official? Later after the service, you can come talk to me. Second closing thought for those who are not Christians. A thought for you is this question. What saves? What saves? You just wandered into church today, came off the street, and here we are talking about canon law and sprinkling and questionnaires, and you're like, I don't know what that means. You need hope. You need to know the answer to this question. What saves? And I can tell you, it's not baptism. But what baptism points to does. What does baptism point to? We see this in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Again, baptism does not save. But non-Christian, what you need to hear is what it points to does. What it paints a picture of does. Under the water points to death. And coming out of the water points to life. And this is our deepest need. Non-Christian, you're here today and you might feel like you're dying inside. You might feel like you're empty. And the truth is, because you are. Every day, you go to sleep with a little bit less life. And you will run out, and it will go away. But what does baptism promise in that going under and coming up? That there is one, Jesus Christ, who died, but then He did something new. He rose from the dead. And non-Christian, the promise of the gospel is that Jesus' death and resurrection can be for you. It can serve the purposes of saving you from your sin and giving you eternal life, resurrection life, forever. He fixes your death problem because He gives you new life. But first, conversion. He must change you. Non-Christian, will you repent of your sin, admit that you're the sinner in need of a Savior, and trust only in Jesus, only in His cross and resurrection for your salvation? And as we learned last week, that change, that conversion, is life-giving. Jesus will give you spiritual life right now. What I'm saying, non-Christian, is salvation is not a what. It's not what we do up there. It is a who. Who is the only one who can change you from death to life? It is Jesus, because He's the only one who has done it. So I encourage you today, trust in Jesus. Turn away from your old life of sin and death and trust in Him. And I promise He will change you. He will give you eternal life. And then, when you're ready, in baptism, I hope that you will make the change official. Amen? And now we're going to have a time to respond to God's Word. We've heard the questions today about baptism. We've heard some corrections. And so at the end of our service, as Paul plays, there's a few questions we like to ask. Number one, for everyone, what do I need to believe? Maybe you need to believe something new about baptism. Maybe you need to believe in Jesus' death and resurrection from the very first time. Is there something you need to repent of? I mean, the most basic one, if you've been baptized, you've said Jesus has all authority, are you living that way? Is there some way that you need to repent and give authority back to Jesus? And of course, we ask, are you ready to make the change official? Do you need to be baptized? I'd love to talk to you about that today. And then for all of us, we answer the question, how can I follow? How can I follow Jesus this week, knowing that He has all authority, knowing that He has death and resurrection? Is there someone who you know who is trusting actually in some baptism experience they had? What makes them right with God? I got wet once upon a time. Maybe you need to bring them the good news about Jesus' death and resurrection. So This is your time to respond to God's word. Paul is going to play quietly where you are with every eye closed and every head bowed. How do you need to respond today? And then at the end, I'll close us in prayer. Answer for yourself, what do I need to believe? Do I need to repent? Do I need to be baptized? And how can I follow? Pray with me, church. Lord Jesus, you're the only one that has done it, the only one who could have done it. You died for sinners, and you rose from the grave so that we may have eternal life in your name. We thank you for the gift and the testimony of baptism. But Jesus, we also confess we are walking out of these doors to people in a world that think that water saves. And I pray, Jesus, that you would give us the opportunity and the encouragement to tell them Jesus saves. That a ritual is not what they need. What they need is the risen Jesus. Jesus, we confess even this week that we have not always submitted to your authority. We have gone our own way. I ask that you would help us follow you more closely, that we would treasure your authority, that we would submit to it. Jesus, we love you. We ask that your Spirit go before us and guide us. We pray this in your name. Amen. And with that, church, you are sent.